Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. Happy Friday, it's June 5th. I'm Sarith Hawk. It's now been 3 days since California's primary election, and results are continuing to trickle in.
I think we did see lower Democratic turnout in this primary election. It's a primary in a non-presidential year.
We speak with the executive director of the Maddie Institute to break down what we have learned from the primary results so far. But first, these headlines. President Trump has taken aim at the delay in California's ballot counting to accuse state Democrats of cheating. In a post to his Truth Social account on Thursday, Trump alleged that Democrats were trying to rig the election to keep two candidates he favors from advancing to the general election, Steve Hilton in the governor's race and Spencer Pratt in the LA mayor's race. In response, Governor Newsom posted a video on social media that outlined California's ballot process, which includes signature verification. Plans are underway to restart a Kings River mining project put on hold more than a decade ago. The Riverbend Sand and Gravel Project east of Sanger was halted back in 2015 due to permitting issues. Mine managers appealed that decision to the Fresno County Board of Supervisors earlier this week. They argued they had made substantial investments in continuing the project. Here's Supervisor Nathan Magsig.
Over $1 million being spent after approval, to me, that is substantial development to try to move the project forward.
Supervisors voted unanimously to allow the permit to remain active, but the project must meet significant conditions. Those include laying down the infrastructure needed to resume mining operations within 2 years. Opponents cite environmental concerns, such as habitat loss and declines in nearby property values. A water purification plant in Bakersfield will soon be renovated thanks to federal funding. The funds will improve and expand water testing laboratories at the Henry C. Garnett Water Purification Plant in Bakersfield. The facility provides water to retail customers in the city. The funding was secured by Kern County Congressman Vince Fong. Officials have not specified exactly how much funding is available. A record number of Fresno Unified students are graduating this year with the ability to speak more than one language. Esther Quintanilla, with our news partner, the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, reports.
Duncan Polytechnical High School in Central Fresno recently hosted a special ceremony to honor bilingual students who are receiving what is known as the Seal of Biliteracy on their diplomas. This year, 69 graduating seniors at Duncan will receive the honor. That's out of more than 800 graduates across Fresno Unified, a new record. Oswaldo Cayetano is an AP Spanish teacher at Duncan.
The seniors are ready for the world, and that excites, I think, every teacher.
After graduation, Sergio De Jesus is planning to join the Marine Corps. He hopes his bilingual skills will help him find a job in the future.
I'm bilingual, I can talk to other people, and I know, like, deep down I'm more helpful to other people.
The district will honor all of its Seal of Biliteracy graduates at its annual Latinx graduation ceremony on June 7th. With the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative for KVPR, I'm Esther Quintanilla.
Google is seeking federal permission to release millions of sterile mosquitoes in California. The initiative aims to wipe out an invasive mosquito species that can carry harmful diseases like dengue, Zika, and chikungunya. The project appears to be part of the Debug program, which Google's parent company piloted in Fresno County nearly 10 years ago. Researchers with the company reported that the pilot reduced the biting mosquito population in those areas by more than 95%.
Your support of KVPR is more than a donation. It's a declaration. It's taking a stand for your right to be informed, to ask questions and get real answers. At a time when media companies are consolidating left and right, public radio is one of the last truly independent sources of information. This station is now 100% community supported. Make your declaration and donation today at kvpr.org.
And now to our main story. Days after the primary election, state and local officials are still tallying votes, Right now, some key races remain too close to call, while others already show a clear picture of the matchups ahead in November. In many ways, the primary followed traditional trends of low voter turnout and predictable pockets of red and blue districts. But still, the election returns managed some surprises. I spoke to Blake Zante, executive director of the Maddy Institute, the public policy institute for the Valley's universities. We focused on some of the most watched races and what the results say about where Valley voters are leaning.
When it comes down to counties like Fresno, we saw Steve Hilton leading there. Kern County, Hilton was the leading candidate there with 36% of the vote. Merced, Hilton led 31%. Tulare, Hilton was leading with almost 40% of the vote. So it's not entirely surprising. It's not off trend where we see these Valley counties leaning a little bit more to the right. However, Becerra in several of these counties was the runner-up. In Fresno, he got 19% of the vote by last count. Merced, Becerra got 22% of the vote. In Kern and Tulare, we saw Bianco take that second spot.
Oh, interesting.
So I think kind of highlights maybe some of the different political leanings of those two counties. But by and large, we saw the Valley go heavily to the right for a couple of reasons. One, as you noted, you know, traditionally is more conservative, but also I think we did see lower Democratic turnout in this primary election. It's a primary in a non-presidential year. Generally speaking, there is lower turnout among Democratic voters in those elections.
Yeah. And why specifically Democratic, but not Republican?
Well, I think we've seen Republican voters, you know, fit certain demographics where there is higher turnout typically and not always. But we see, you know, older, more affluent voters who are paying closer attention to these elections. They're turning out, they're voting in the primary. I do think we'll see an uptick in the general election in November among Democratic voters. We'll see probably candidates message more on taking back the House majority to counter President Trump. That will generate some higher Democratic turnout.
Got it. Let's turn to some more local seats here. A Valley seat that's been getting a lot of national attention is the race for California's 22nd congressional district. Republican David Valadao is the incumbent in that race. And while we're certain that he's going to be moving on to the general election, I think the big question is who is going to be his Democratic competitor?
Well, I think this one may have surprised some folks. Certainly, Jasmeet Bains got that late endorsement from the DCCC, highlighting that she was sort of their favorite, their pick. She's a sitting assemblywoman, has a lot of name ID, but that doesn't discount the work that the Villegas campaign put in. I think we saw Villegas displayed a strong showing, certainly had strong fundraising numbers, and also a good ground game. Additionally, I do think that that DCCC endorsement getting involved in the election so late in the game may have made some, you know, more progressive leaning voters upset and actually motivated them to turn out for Villegas. This is a, you know, a district historically that has lower income voters. Certainly, you know, most of the district is on Medi-Cal. And I think we see that influence a lot of the issues where voters are kind of just tired of establishment politicians. They want to see somebody who's a little bit more grassroots. That doesn't also, though, discount David Valadao had a strong showing in the primary election. 44% of the vote is the incumbent and has traditionally won this district. So even in light of Prop 50, I do think that Villegas will have an uphill battle against Valadao.
Yeah, I mean, Valadao has a far lead ahead of both Bains and Villegas in there. Do you think that Democrats have any chance of flipping the seat?
Well, even in light of Prop 50, where it became more advantageous to Democrats, it is still going to be a challenge. The new seat does have areas of Fresno County that Congressman Valadao represented prior to redistricting up in, you know, western Fresno County. So he does have some familiarity there, even though it's a small pocket of voters. I do think with the incumbency factor, with, you know, Villegas sort of having that uphill fight, I think it will be a challenge, but nothing's impossible. We saw what happened in 2018 when Valadao was unseated by then TJ Cox.
Right.
So it's not impossible, but I will say Valadao since then has had a pretty consistent track record of winning elections decisively in that district.
Let's turn to some Valley races for the state legislature. A race that we've had our eye on is the one for State Senate District 14. That district includes parts of southern Fresno, Merced, and Coalinga. Current state assembly member Esmeralda Soria is running for that seat. Does it look like she'll move on to the general election?
She's definitely moving on to the general election against Darren DuPont, who's a Merced City Council member. Even though the seat is heavily based in Merced, I do think that with Esmeralda Soria being the sitting assemblywoman that overlaps with much of that district, again, it's a very Democratic-leaning district. Esmeralda Hurtado, who's actually the sister of State Senator Melissa Hurtado, mm-hmm. which I know we'll get to in just a moment, but did pick up about 13% of the vote in that district. I do anticipate that she'll be successful. Esmeralda Soria will be successful in the general election in that seat. Darren DuPont, good candidate. I think the Republicans found the best candidate that they could, but the party registration advantage and I think the incumbency factor is going to be tough for him to overcome.
Yeah, and we mentioned that race. State Senate District 16 includes a large portion of Bakersfield, communities of Delano, Hanford, and Kingsburg. The incumbent in that race is actually trailing. Can you tell us about that?
Well, certainly this is a very competitive district. Again, looking at areas of the North Valley, like we just talked about a moment ago, mm-hmm. now looking at the South Valley, these are different communities, right? Similar demographics in some respects, but and some similar issues, but different trends across the board. Back in 2022, we saw a very close election between State Senator Hurtado and her then challenger, David Shepard, separated by only a little over a dozen votes.
Wow.
So this is a very competitive seat. I do think Manpreet Kaur is vice mayor of the Bakersfield City Council, you know, has some name ID and familiarity in the district, mm-hmm. ran a, you know, probably as strong of a campaign as she could, but fell short, got 15% of the vote. I do think many Democratic voters will end up backing the incumbent Melissa Hurtado, but Guillermo Gonzalez, former staffer for Congressman Valadao, did have a very strong showing, almost got 50% of the vote by last count. So again, it just kind of highlights how flippable this district is either way. Melissa Hurtado, again, unseated the prior incumbent back in 2018, Andy Vidak, who was a Republican. So this district can go either way, and we've seen that in the past.
A more local race that's been getting attention is the Fresno County Superintendent of Schools. This one's really interesting. The incumbent, Michelle Cantwell-Kofer, is facing a challenge from former Clovis Unified Superintendent Imir O'Brien and another candidate as well. What were some of the biggest talking points in that race? How is it shaping up right now?
Well, this is a really interesting race. I've actually been fascinated, and I think a lot of people have been interested in how this has been shaping up. The Fresno County Superintendent of Schools seat generally is very not contentious, mm-hmm. You know, very under the radar. But in this election, it seems to be sort of a front and center election. Michelle Cantwell-Kofer had a very strong showing on election night, got over at last count 42% of the vote. You know, she's the incumbent in that race. Not terribly surprising to see her strong performance. But Imir O'Brien, who was the former Clovis superintendent of Clovis Unified, 29.5% of the vote, and Johnny Alvarado trailing at 27.8% of the vote. I do think we'll likely see Michelle and Imir if that gap continues to widen in the general election. There was a lot of dialogue. There were mm-hmm. a ton of candidate forums in this election. I think probably somewhere close to 8 or 10 candidate forums, which is pretty unusual. So a lot of voters were paying attention to this, mm-hmm. but I think it speaks to the larger concern about the state of education in Fresno County. Voters are worried about their kids' education, the resources, especially in these smaller, more rural school districts. And so they want to see who's going to deliver for them on these issues.
Well, Blake Zante, Executive Director of the Maddie Institute, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
KVPR will continue to track the latest election results as they're released. And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Carrie Klein, Jonathan Linden, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.